Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody once again to the Transformation Cafe. We just love all the comments that we were getting from just all over the world. It's just really awesome to see just the different conversations that are getting started. Last week we had a show about our visit from Pope Francis, and that was just a really great response that we've been getting. And just keep your comments coming, questions, and different kinds of ideas for shows. We look forward to that. Tonight we're going to be talking about the practice of praise as a part of our conversation. It's going to go in a few different directions, and I'm excited about that. We've got a couple of really dynamic diners scooting up to the table. Mr. Ross Bryant is with us tonight. He's been a guest chef in our house before. How are you doing, Ross?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'd love to have you with us. Ross is the director at the Vet Service Department at the University of Las Vegas, and we'd love for him to be with us because, you know, part of what we're going to be talking about with praise and gratitude is how that really gets affected and how that would look in the workplace. And we have my sister Amy. Amy is with joining us tonight again. Hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I am really grateful to be part of the conversation.
Well, that's a good segue in helping us to get going on that. So I just kind of woke up the other morning just thinking about, you know, the practice of praise and how wonderful and how important it is in our lives. We've talked about gratitude, but I think with gratitude and with praise, you know, I'm excited to be coming from looking at it from the workplace, especially having Ross on board tonight. You know, he works with the different office. I've had the privilege of going to his place and seeing him and just all the wonderful ways that he just makes life better for people. And when it comes to being able to just do different topics, we're going to have a couple things we're going to post on the show if you go to the transformation-cafe.com. And one of those is going to be 1,501 ways to reward employees and also 1,001 ways to energize employees. And along with, yes, it's a book about employees, but I think really important is about relationships and getting people connected in different ways. And I'd love for you, Ross, to kind of talk about that. And just to kind of, as we go into that, both of those have been written by Bob Nelson and the PhD. So do you know of Bob, or these are the books that you've had that you feel like are good resources for you?
I think they're good resources, and in any kind of work environment, it's been my experience, whether I've been a worker or a director or a leader or even when I was an officer in the Army, people are energized and feel like they're part of a team if they feel like they have part of the decision-making, they have part of the responsibility, but they're also valued. And at the end of the day, the biggest reward is when someone says, "Hey, working here feels like family," you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the biggest. I think that's, what a gift that would be. Because really, you know, you're spending so much more time with somebody at work more times than when you do with relationships. So when it comes to just significant others, you know, we're spending, 40 to 50 hours a week at the workplace compared to what we do in the family. So, you know, those relationships at work really are something that we need to be looking at and having a really healthy, respectful, and ways of inspiring people when it comes to relationships in that way. So you have any stories that would be really great to maybe be able to, you know, emphasize that when it comes to just some of the great guys and gals that you work with?
I have probably many. I would say that when I was in the service in the Army, I had a company commander when I was a young private, and things were not going well in the Army at the time, budget-wise, training-wise, morale-wise. It was right after Vietnam. But I had a couple key leaders who were just very inspiring. They went out of their way to lead by example. They did not worry about the Army. They worried about their unit and their team. And they made sure that poor performers were taken care of, but also good performers were recognized and encouraged. And it's because of those kind of folks that, you know, I got out of the Army and went to ROTC and got my commission and wanted to be a leader like them. And I've had many mentors like that. And when it comes to, you know, praise is good and all those kinds of things, but it's got to be grounded in a sense of reality and teamwork and accomplishment that brings value to where people are really energized about being part of the team. And some of that comes from being in the moment, realizing when things are going well and saying that to people and telling them how much you appreciate their work and their effort. And in the moment, not after the fact. And that doesn't mean that everything is always perfect. When things do not go well, you have to sort of be calm under fire. Everyone needs to realize you're not going to lose your temper if you're the boss. And you're going to look for solutions as opposed to, you know, who's to blame, I guess. If you look for blame, then what happens is people start being overly cautious and they're not going to think outside the box. They're not going to come up with solutions and they're not going to be part of the team. They're just going to wait for you to tell them what to do every second of the day. And then they don't feel empowered, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, because that's one reason I wanted to, I think, you know, we're walking around it really great right now, but talking about, you know, with the practice of praise, it's like you're saying, being in the moment, being in a place where, you know, when things are going really well or even when there is a challenge, when you can tell that I'm sure there's always that pivotal moment when things aren't going real right, but then things start to shift to where they are going right and being able to harness that new motion, forward motion, and having everybody kind of jumping on the same mindset and being able to continue having it going in the direction that's, you know, great for everybody else. So I have Amy jump in here. Is there anything, any comments or things that you'd like to be able to jump in on that, Amy?
Yeah, a couple things. There's a lot of really great research at showing that gratitude and appreciation pays off in terms of health, in terms of your happiness levels, in terms of productivity. So that's really exciting, I think. And I think gratitude and happiness are sisters, and they walk side by side. When you were talking about the Bob Nelson books, they've been around quite a while, and I use them quite a bit when I'm working with other people. And one of the exercises that they have that I really love, they're simple, they're easy. What you do is you take an index card, and you give it to the people that you're working with, and you have them write three things that motivate them. Then you have three ways to help inspire them and motivate them. So it's like one of the things about showing appreciation, showing gratitude to people, you want to do it in a way that they value. I think part of you, we get caught up in doing it in a way that we think we would want, and that's cool, but we're not them. So if somebody is a private person, I know I had created an award for 100 women doing amazing things in the world. And it was really interesting to me to watch. I had it in a big public forum, and several people didn't show up because they didn't want to get it in a public forum. So what I ended up doing was going to them on smaller venues or even going to them one-on-one. And so it was important to realize, oh, not everybody wants this big show of, you know, look at me, look at what I've done. Some people want it in a quieter way. So it's finding, how do people want to be appreciated? How do they want to be valued? And doing it from that perspective.
Okay. So what was the exercise? You were talking about before about an exercise. What would that be?
So you would do is people that you're working with, you know, working, they work for you or you work with them to know mm-hmm. how to show appreciation. You give them an index card. Simple, easy, breezy. And you have them write three things that motivate them. And so now you know, because a lot of times we're guessing, and now we know, oh, wow, that's, you know, something that I predict. Like for me, a Starbucks card would be good. For me, mm-hmm. giving me an opportunity to learn something would be motivating to me. So that, yeah, I would be really, you know, I'm very excited when I get an opportunity, like when I'm working with you, Robin. One of the things I'm very grateful about is I get to learn new things all the time. That way, that inspires me, that motivates me. So that's one way that you can appreciate me, is finding ways that I get an opportunity to learn.
Right. And we were talking before the show started about another resource that's really great is a book called The Five Languages of Appreciation. And I think that would be a great place for people. We'll go ahead and add that to the show as well. And if you go back to TC, our show 258 on positive psychology and authentic happiness, that's another really great one that that we can be having that on there as well. So it talks about Seligman and some of the different things that they found out about. And I know Amy's really involved in that. Don't you have a convention or something that you have coming up, Amy, that's been dealing with moving in that direction for people to? Of the psychologists and therapists that are working in that field?
Well, I'm part of the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychologists, ASAP, and their website is energypsych.org. And it's been around 17 years, and it's using energy psychology techniques to help people to deal with blocks. And, I use it with people when I'm helping them to get ready for an interview. So when you feel yourself blocked up, how do I use these very simple, easy techniques in order to get myself relaxed and calm to be able to be effective in that? And so it's a great organization for, you know, tools to help you. I think it's hard to be grateful when you're blocked and you can't move forward. So ASAP is a great organization to help people with that.
Mm-hmm. And Ross, with different kinds of people that, you know, having vets coming in the office and things and just the different challenges they have getting into the college situation and stuff like that. Are there certain tools or techniques that you like to use that really helped these guys to be able to get into more of an academic mindset and getting into the program?
Yeah, what we do is we focus on their service and thank them for their service, which mm-hmm. a lot of people do, but we really genuinely listen. And then we try to find out, you know, what is their academic goal. And then as we're processing them to get, you know, we have a series of checklists. All the veterans are used to checklists, so they appreciate that. And then we go out of our way to try to get them paid as soon as possible. But then we connect them with a series of peer mentors who hopefully are in their same curriculum that can sort of coach them and be sort of a battle buddy as they transition to, you know, sort of a scary environment going from the military culture to a college campus that seems to be like organized chaos. And so mm-hmm. Veterans connect with other veterans. And, you know, just going out of the way to hear their story and then sharing their victories. And then if there's anyone who needs resources, we always try to treat everyone as a whole person and then work on any kind of resources we can get them to help them out. And then, you know, there's times when people get frustrated or people are here late and those kinds of things. And we just try to work through those things and focus on the task in hand, but also ensure the veteran know there's a piece where you have to have some sense of self-responsibility about putting your plan together. You can't just show up the day of and expect everything to magically come together. So we do things that if you're proactive, things are set up to try to help you be successful. And then if you find mm-hmm. you're on the wrong path, we then try to connect you to get you on the right path of what would be a better career field or academic plan or whatever those things might be.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about empowerment. And something else came to me, too. You know, mm-hmm. when you come to a new organization, and I've had to lead very, very different organizations over 35 years, one of the things I learned in the Army that is crucial, when you come to a unit or an organization that's doing well, that has challenges because you have to sustain that. But if you mm-hmm. come to a unit or an office or a department that has not been led well, and everyone's morale is down, and we're in a world of after the recession, people can't, you know, throw bonuses around like they used to. Not that money is always the motivator people thinks it is. One thing I learned from a great commander that I've used everywhere I've gone is asking the existing staff when you're the new director, give me three things that are going well and give me three things you'd like to improve and some suggestions. And then everyone has empowered ownership because they really understand that you're listening and you're also seeing what skill set your folks have and how vested they are in the organization. Especially if you implement things, then they feel empowered and then they have a sense of gratitude that their voice was heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, that you're showing a sense of trust and respect right off the bat because you're trusting that they've been there, know what's going on, and respect the, you know, their ideas and how they, you know, like you're saying, if they're invested, having a place of, you know, you can see where they can have places of praise and gratitude within what they're doing. Because, I mean, you know, ultimately, I think everybody really wants to know that they matter and that they're making a difference, you know, with the work that they do and then how they're being able to interact and help each other and help other people.
Correct. And, you know, the worst thing you could do as a new boss is just walk in and just wholesale start changing things, because if people's morale is already low, then it's like, well, here we go again. This new genius has just arrived to show me what I've been doing the last 4 or 5 years. And they just feel like, well, this guy's going to come and go, and then we're going to go through this again.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, after the recession hit, people have hung on to jobs longer. Maybe not their dream job because there's a little bit of trepidation about, you know, jumping from job to job when the recession was going on. And so that's when real leadership, you know, real leadership is the challenge when, not always when things are going right, but when things are not going right, you know, how to get everyone on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's that fine line, isn't it?
It is. And part of it always comes back to lead by example. Everyone's going to watch you on parade. They're going to watch for your values and your vision. And they're going to see, you know, what is your work ethic. And if you're not motivated and dedicated and you're not looking for the long-term plan and the strategic plan and the budget and all those kinds of things that have to happen, then they're not going to be motivated to take care of their portion that you rely upon them. And so, you know, it's at the end of the day, you don't work for your people. I mean, they don't work for you. You actually work for them at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having the gratitude in the moment, I've spent so many part of my life watching people in a good department, in a good unit, complain about minor things. And then they get to a next department that really has problems, and they spend all their time reflecting on how wonderful things were at the time. But at the time, they were the ones who were complaining, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to turn that around and focus on positives. I joke with staff all the time and cadets, and, you know, I'll say, hey, Robin, you're my favorite. And you're like, wait a minute, I heard you tell Amy that she's my favorite. You know?
Well,
so,
she's your wife, so, you know, I would count on that.
Well, there you go.
In the same room together. You know how that goes. Okay, anyway. So if people haven't figured it out, or not, Ross and Amy are married. So it's a great conversation
to each other.
To have the two of them here. Yeah, to each other. Yeah, we should say that. To each other. So and just two powerful people that are really wanting and doing a great job of just helping so many people to just feel good about life and, like you're saying, be in the moment and see things. I know I have a couple of really dear friends of mine that, you know, we'll be going out to lunch or something like that, and that we're having a nice conversation, and the food may be just really great or whatever, and it never fails. It seems like every other time we see each other, we'll pause and we'll just say, isn't this really great? Isn't it great to just be with you right now? And isn't this whatever, you know, salad wonderful or whatever. We just really stop and be able to relish a moment, because how many people really stop and be able to be grateful in a moment? I think that's such a great thing that you're talking about, Ross, because it's just so, you know, it's so easy to not do that, but yet it's so easy to do that when being able to just stop for a moment and say, this is just so nice. It's a place of just pleasant, being pleasant and perhaps even joy, and just being able to really catch ourselves in moments that we so easily could take for granted, you know. And I think that's really great that you're being able to be that mindful, you know, like you're saying, the model for so many people that you're working with. So anything with that, Amy?
Yeah, one thing that Ross and I certainly live by, and Ross is a really great model of this, is, you know, you have people like, oh my gosh, you know, they used to be so good, it used to be so good. And, you know, what I always talk to people about, what if these are the good old days? And why not try to look at it like that? What if these are the good old days? And something that Ross always talks about when people are having challenging times and have a hard time being grateful is about, you know, what if your life is a book? Do you want to talk about that for a minute, Ross?
Well, you know, everyone is going to have some challenges in life, and I always try to say, you know, if you live to be 80 years old, right now we're in a chapter. Maybe this chapter is the one that really sucks, but that's not the defining chapter of your life, and whatever you've been through is not defining where you're going to go. It does if you give up and you quit growing and quit trying and quit doing what you're doing. And I have lots of veterans who are coming back. Some of them have challenges. Some of them have no challenges at all, and they're looking forward to their adventure to start their next career, their next education, their next phase, their next family, their next whatever. And then it's easy to get caught up like, well, I'm in school, but I have no money. But, you know, you're going to look back and say, you know, when I was in school, I was part of a great team helping a lot of great veterans and celebrating their accomplishments, and that was really a great period of my life. And when you look back, it's not going to be, you know, hey, I was struggling because we were in school and I didn't have a lot of money. It's not about the money. It's going to be about the friendships, the achievements, the service. It's all those things that a lot of veterans miss when they get out of the service. And when they connect with other veterans in a bigger community, that's when they enjoy that. So I always try to highlight chapters.
It may not even be a chapter. It may be only a page of your whole story, right, your whole book. Or it could be a paragraph, but we make it the whole story, and we put our focus on that. I guess what we're trying to say is there's gratitude in there, and no matter what's going on right now, and whatever's going on right now doesn't have to define in a negative way the rest of your life.
Yeah,
you know, and all too often, when you develop a team of focused folks that have gratitude, things come together without any kind of effort. I've had things where, out of the blue, a community part of the veteran community will reach out to me and say, you know, I have this job and this job and this job. And right at the same moment when someone comes in the office saying, hey, I need a job right away. And they just connect. And then a week later you meet this guy and he's like, hey, I got the job. It's almost like it was hand-delivered to that one. And it's not that you expect it, but you're sort of calm and, you know, you walk towards the automatic door and it opens kind of deal. So you're not surprised when it happens. You're not surprised.
Does it seem like it's happening more often for you, Ross?
You know, it is. And then when things are not always the way I would like them to be, I've learned that maybe it's not unfolding the way I planned. And other things then open up that are beyond my wildest dreams. What I'm doing now, I really enjoy doing. I have such a great team. I have great support. That doesn't mean that everything is perfect. But as you know, I'm doing something that when I was doing Homeland Security stuff, I worked for an institute with a great team, and the budget money fell apart, and we all got terminated and laid off. And that seemed like this incredible doom for me at the time. But in reality, it allowed me to walk through the door and do something that was never on the horizon, that is very rewarding and has been a blessing on so many counts. And it just sort of all fit into place. And I try to expand that same kind of experience to these folks that are coming back to school, trying to figure out what they're going to do next, that you don't even know what's going to happen next. But you're going to come get your education, you're going to network, you're going to meet people. Someone's going to offer you a position, and it might not be the dream job, but it might be the next thing that leads to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it all unfolds, you know?
Yeah, it's all that way. You know, because like how this idea for this show started was I woke up thinking of the practice of praise, and Amy and I started having a conversation yesterday about it, and my whole thing was just like that. It's like, you know, in everything that we have going on, if we can find something to praise about that, we can really come from a place of really being able to have that perspective that, you know, things are working out for us. And, yeah, it may feel like it sucks at the moment, but like just like you're saying, you know, I lost the one position so this other job could come in and be that much more of what I am. And I think it's part of that just coming from a different way of being able to appreciate it, do you think, Brad?
It is, and it's also holding the line when you – we've all had to terminate employees and do other things. Part of it is not settling for people that don't have the same values or putting up with substandard performance. And then when you get the team, you've been trying to build and it all comes together, then someone says, wow, it's really like a family here. You can sort of say, it is, and I acknowledge that, and I appreciate that. And a lot of effort went into building that in action, in deed, and by example, and all those kinds of things. That doesn't mean everything's perfect, but the intention and everything sets you on that path. And then when people buy in, it affects them too.
Right, exactly.
I have students who are student workers who, you know, they don't get paid a lot of money from the VA to be a student worker, but they love working in our office because the job is right on campus, and every day when they're not in class, they get to come and be a peer mentor and help other vets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're continuing to serve, you know?
Oh, exactly. And I mean, I'm sure that just means they, instead of being, you know, they get to be book buddies, you know, and having that be something that really helps them to walk in a way of like, you know, it's always so great to have somebody who can be there to just be a lending hand, give you an idea of where you need to go and how you're going to do it. So Amy had sent me a really great quote about purely joyful moments that we have ever known to man, and that was by G.K. Jesterton, and I want to thank her for that too. Another great resource is enjoylifebook.com and really Healing with Happiness. So again, all these different things. So anything else, Amy, you'd like to go ahead and on that? We got a couple minutes left
here.
Yeah,
in the conversation, what's come to me, how do we appreciate people? How do they want to be appreciated? They want you to hear me, see me, value me for what I bring to the table, and help me grow into what I can be.
Mm-hmm. And how do we all fit together with being having a level of camaraderie and synergy? Because we're all been, mm-hmm. you know, we've all been brought together to be something bigger than ourselves, and I think that's
well. They also want someone to have their back and have outcome for them when an honest mistake is made that was not intended. That they know that, hey, I got it, and we'll do better next time. And I appreciate the intent of what happened and. You know, let's all figure out what we do next, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, and with anything that when it comes to having problems come up, that imperfection actually creates more perfection. Because, you know, we can take things that we would perceive as a mistake and know that there's something that really can make something that's more of a fine-tuning of having things be just better in the future. So, you know, just as always, 30 minutes goes super, super fast here. So I really want to thank Ross and Amy for joining me tonight. And just a reminder to everybody, we're going to be starting to do we're doing a new thing on our show. We're going to be doing a book review called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear with Elizabeth Gilbert starting next week. So really want to invite everybody, if you're, you know, go ahead and check it out on the website. And we're going to be having people joining into the conversation, you know, on the line. And then we'll have a Facebook page, being able to have people with conversations. And we look forward to that. And hopefully Mr. Ross will join us in that conversation as well.
All right. We will talk to you soon.
All right. We want to thank you guys for what's going to thank you, Amy, for all your comments and ideas. And as always,
thank you.
Welcome you here at the cafe.